Hawaii's mixed ethnic plate often means we watch the world a little differently. Yet these days, when we talk about refugees, you might automatically think of Syria. Without de-emphasizing the Middle East, Betsy Kawamura would like us to consider the refugee diaspora from the Far East. The granddaughter of a journalist once interrogated at Sand Island for potentially aiding the enemy says Hawaii should pay closer attention to the refugees from North Korea. Betsy Kawamura joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thanks for being here. We see horrible things that happen in war, where people who have lots of different positions on many different issues are forced to choose up sides. And sometimes that side may not necessarily be consistent with what a government would wish. In this case, we have a lot of people from North Korea who have been fleeing to mainland China, to places around the globe, Australia, United States, Europe. We're talking about a lot of people, well over, what, 1 million people?
Yes, we estimate that there's about 200,000 hiding in China, about, about 1,000 in Europe, but we're talking about 25,000 in South Korea. I think in terms of what it is, you know, as you said before, compared to the numbers in Syria, you pointed about 6.5 million. The numbers are perhaps small, but the issue is that when you talk about North Korea issues, it automatically brings in six different countries. Namely, you're talking about the six countries associated with this, with the six-party talk. That's North Korea, South Korea, Japan, China, USA, and Russia. And, you know, anything that has to do with the United States coming into the picture means that you have the European Union and you have NATO also. So I wanted the people in Hawaii to understand that when we're talking about, like, North Korea issues, it's not basically North Korea, that country in Far East Asia. It affects us all in the Asia Pacific and globally worldwide.
And particularly as we're continuing to talk about what it means to be involved with the Asia Pacific pivot of our attention, this is right there at the nexus, because we're talking about countries with a great deal of power, and this is not just an issue of numbers of refugees, although the numbers are certainly significant. It's an issue of what does this mean in deciding these people's fates.
I think you have a clear point. It's great because thank you very much for mentioning. My grandfather was Shigehiro Kawamura. He was the original, one of the original reporters, editors for the Nipujiji, now called Hawaii Times, which went down. In my grandfather's case, he was, like, you know, basically forced to prove some kind of alliance between the United States or Japan during Pearl Harbor days, and unfortunately he was interrogated for about a week. I think something similar happens to the North Korean refugees, who are basically torn between, like, having this passion and love for their home country in North Korea versus trying to separate themselves from the regime that runs it, Kim Jong-un, and also, like, being relocated to different parts of the world in the West, you know, whether it's Japan or Australia or Europe or basically in other parts of South Korea, that they have to show some kind of allegiance to their quote-unquote new country. And this could be very difficult because, you know, they certainly have family members or relatives they know still back in North Korea. And if they say anything negative about their home country, and if the word gets through, there is a system about the three generation that can basically end up, you know, routed up to the concentration camps or the prison camps in North Korea, very similar to the system used by the Nazis during German wartime in World War II.
Only extended by many, many more decades.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's part of your point, that this has been going on and on and on.
Yes, it has been going on and on. The reason why we don't hear too much about it is that obviously North Korean, the regime does not want us to know about it. As you may have heard, Kenneth Bay, the American who has been in prison in North Korea, and there has been, like, two other reporters who were basically in North Korea, and the two other reporters, were luckily helped by the former Al Gore. You know, unfortunately, in the case of Kenneth Bay, it's very debatable as to what is going to happen. Many of us believe that basically North Korea is going to continue its incredibly draconian action against the refugees who basically tried to leave the country. And this is the reason why I wanted to create an NGO that I established called Women for Nonviolence. It focuses basically on women's issues, but Far East Asian women. And there was a 9-minute documentary that I did on a friend of mine who is from North Korea. She basically survived prison camps not in China, but in North Korea. And she was also held in detention in China because she wanted to leave. And also basically she wanted very much to create an awareness of her fate. Now she's resettled in England. So she has come out with her voice.
And your personal contact with her shaped some of what you were doing anyway with a lot of your activism for a very long time. But looking at the situation with Kenneth Bay, because that is getting so much traction in the news, is that a helpful situation to know that this, you know, Christian missionary is languishing in a prison? We seem to, you know, have a story like that resonate well. Are you somewhat disconcerted by the fact that that is what's galvanizing attention?
Well, I think, you know, it's a very difficult thing to make a decision about. You know, in one thing, I think it is important that Kenneth Bay, yes, is creating attention on North Korea issues.
But he's American.
Yes, you know, but I think he stands more for his Christian faith more than being an American, according to what I have read. And, you know, there was, Mr. Robert Park before, who was also detained in North Korea. And he was assisted, I suppose, by Jimmy Carter going or somebody else going on his behalf. I mean, you know, I have absolutely nothing against Christianity or religion, but I think in terms of trying to create like sustainable peace and harmony between North and South Korea and the rest of the world, we need to have some kind of, you know, a more diplomatic or some kind of like more, you know, conversation engagement in terms of trying to create peace amongst, you know, the countries in Far East Asia.
But is that possible with North Korea? I mean, there are some who have said flat out, you know, North Korea has done the best that it could given its position with not a whole lot of resources just to stir up a whole lot of trouble.
I think you have a lot of good points on that, Beth. You know, my position is that, you know, basically I would like to empower the diaspora that has left North Korea. And very similar to the situation in Sri Lanka and other countries. You know, I was in Sri Lanka during the war. And basically what happened is that, you know, many times you have like the people within the country who are very, you know, who are very much, you know, limited in what they can say. The North Koreans that I know who basically have resettled in the West, namely in Europe, have been much more politically engaged and active. And I would like to empower them so that they can create a voice as to how they should develop some kind of peace, you know, sustainable peace within the region.
Thanks very much for coming in and telling us a little bit this morning about some of what perhaps we're not paying enough attention to.
Thank you very much, Beth. Thank you.
Betsy Kawamura is the founder and director of Women for Nonviolence. She started the organization for two reasons. She mentioned her personal experience with her grandfather's interrogation as a possible aid to the enemy after the Pearl Harbor attack. She, though, had her own personal experience in Okinawa during the end of the Vietnam War. Both, she says, should be a reminder to our state what can happen to ethnic populations in wartime, which is the reason her work now focuses on North Korean refugees. You can find out more about Betsy Kawamura at hpr2.org. ¶¶